Welcome, my name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. And if you wouldn't mind to take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me once again to the book of Lamentations. The book of Lamentations in chapter number 4. The book of Lamentations in chapter number 4. We are now in our last two messages of our study of Lamentations. We've been walking through for these last several weeks, walking through the five chapters of the book of Lamentation. Remember, the book of Lamentation is a funeral dirge. It's a wailful mourning. And it pictures most of all our weeping Savior, the feelings, the compassion, the heartbreak that the Lord Jesus Christ has for his people. And it's demonstrated by the prophet Jeremiah, who Jesus, by the way, associated himself with several times because of this weeping prophet. Jeremiah, as he's walking through the destruction of Jerusalem after 586 BC, he's giving what the judgment of God looks like, what the judgment of God sounds like, what the judgment of God feels like. He's walking through and saying what the judgment of God looks like. And it is not a good sight, and he's brokenhearted. And as he's walking through Jerusalem, he's seeing all of these sights and sounds. And just when you think it doesn't get any worse, it does. Notice, if you don't mind, as we pick it up in the book of Lamentations in chapter 4. Lamentations 4, notice with me in verse 17. Lamentations 4 and 17. As for us, our eyes as yet failed for our vain help. In our watching, we could have watched for a nation that could not save us. They hunt our steps that we cannot go into our streets. And our end is near. Our days are fulfilled, for our end is come. Our persecutors are swifter than eagles of the heavens. They pursued us upon the mountains. They laid wait for us in the wilderness. The breath of our nostrils, the anointed of the Lord, was taken in their pits, of whom we said, under his shadow we should live among the heathen. Rejoice and be glad, O daughter of Edom, that dwellest in the land of Uz. The cup also shall pass through thee. Thou shalt be drunken, and thou shalt make thyself naked. The punishment of thine iniquity is accomplished, O daughter of Zion. He will no more carry thee away into captivity. He will visit thine iniquity, O daughter of Edom. He will remember thy sins. Remember, O Lord, what is come upon us. Consider and behold our reproach. Our inheritance is turned to strangers, and our houses to aliens. We are orphans and fatherless. Our mothers are as widows. We have drunken our water for money. Our wood is sold unto us. Our necks are under persecution. We labor and have no rest. We have given the hand to the Egyptians and to the Assyrians to be satisfied with bread. Our fathers have sinned and are not, and we are borne their iniquities. Servants are ruled over us, and there is none that doth deliver us out of their hand. We get our bread with the peril of our lives because of the sword of the wilderness. Our skin was as black as an oven because of the terrible famine. They ravished the women in Zion and maids in the cities of Judah. Princes are hanged by their head. Their faces, the faces of elders, were not honored. They took the young men to the grind, and the children fell under the wood. The elders have ceased from the gate, and the young men from their music. The joy of our heart is ceased. Our dance is turned into mourning. The crown is fallen from our head. Woe unto us, for we have sinned. For this is our heart is faint, for the things of our eyes are dim. Because of the mountain of Zion, which is desolate, and the foxes walk upon it, thou, O Lord, remainest forever, thy throne from generation to generation. Wherefore dost thou forget us forever and forsake us so long time? And if you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, would you mark a phrase that we find in the book of Lamentations in chapter number 4? Lamentations chapter 4. Notice with me at the end of verse 18. Lamentations 4 and verse 18. Notice the end of it where it gives the testimony for our end is come. For our end is come. When everything is stripped away from us, God is still on the throne. The Jews in Jerusalem waited too long to see God high, holy, and lifted up. As long as he withheld their judgment, they neglected to repent. And when God's judgment came, it was worse than anything they could have ever imagined. We see through here this statement, our end is come. We must learn to take our eyes off the circumstances and look to the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, come unto me. That was his invitation to all. Come unto me. The idea here of seeing the sufficiency of Christ. Corrie Ten Boom, who lived through the Nazi regime, her and her family helped Jewish people escape and hide the Jews from Nazi Germany. Her and her family was found out, and they were sent to prison camps. Corrie Ten Boom's sister died in a horrible way in the prison camps. Corrie Ten Boom was able to be released, and she lived afterwards. And through that, living through the Nazi camps, living through the torture, living through the things that occurred there, she said this, we don't see God as our sufficiency. We don't see that he is enough until he's all that we have. Unfortunately, that's a true statement. The Jewish people, as long as they had the blessings of God, they would not turn to God. They saw God's goodness as permission. Things are fine. Things don't need to change. I'm good as I am. And they continued on. And as long as they had their own strength, they would depend on their own strength. As long as they had their own intellect, they would depend on their own intellect. As long as they had their own dreams, they could depend on their own dreams. And they would depend on everything else rather than God. Unfortunately, this happens to so many people, is that they do not realize that God is enough until he is all they have. We should be able to glean from the lives of others and the lives of the Bible to make God our sufficiency before that happens, before it's too late, before our end has come. And yet, sometimes it seems like the warnings, like Jeremiah warning the people for 40 years, they didn't listen because they still had their own strength. They still had their own ways. They still had their own sufficiency. They still had their own prosperity. And God had to bring this through to finally show them he was enough the whole time. Jesus, when he makes that invitation, come unto me, all ye that labor, and I will give thee rest. So many people will go to God when they do go to God to seek his hand before they seek his face. Meaning they go to God to get things from him without trying to be with him. When we learn that God is enough, when we have him, we also have the health that we need. When we have him, we need to have the grace that we need. When we have him, we find the finances that we need. He is our sufficiency. But it's him that we seek through first. It is him that we honor first. And as long as we still feel like we have options, we will not go to him. It is something about us. We just will not when we should, and he wants us to. We'd be better off. As Jeremiah is walking through Jerusalem, he's seeing these sights. And you can almost imagine a weeping Savior just brokenhearted over the things that are going on. Notice again as we see the end of chapter 4, Lamentations 4, verse 17. As for us, our eyes are yet failed in our vain help. Notice this, our eyes have failed in our vain help. That means empty help. They were looking for help in other sources other than God. And all that what did was help be empty. When people put their faith in the government, they're going to find it empty. When they put their faith in family, they're going to find that their family is going to let them down. When you put your faith in anything other than God, it will not satisfy. It will come short eventually. As for us, our eyes failed for our vain help. In our watching, we have watched for a nation that could not save us. They're looking for anyone and anything to help them. And there is nothing to help them except God. They should have turned to God and they should have depended on God. And God would have been their help. But they refused, looking for any other answers other than God. Verse 18, they hunt our steps that we cannot go into our streets. And the end is near. Our days are fulfilled, for our end is come. Our persecutors are swifter than the eagles of the heavens. They persecute us upon the mountains. They lay wait for us in the wilderness. Verse 19 is just a picture. They're being chased down and they cannot outrun their problems. They cannot outrun the enemy. They cannot outrun the consequences. Why? Because they're not turning to God. They're still trying to solve things themselves. And they're finding that no matter what plan, scheme, what they do to try to hide, the persecutors, those that are after them, will still continue to find them. It's a hopeless situation. They're coming to the place where there's nothing outside of God that they can depend upon. And everything that they trust on God outside of him is falling apart, falling short, and not helping. Verse 20, the breath of our nostrils and the anointed of the Lord was taken from their pits, of whom we said, under his shadow, we should live among the heathen. Rejoice and be glad, O daughter of Edom. So Edom is a country nearby on the other side of the Dead Sea. They were enemies of the Hebrew people. In fact, we have a whole book of Obadiah that was written for this purpose. The whole time when Jerusalem's being destroyed, Edom, the neighbor's laughing. Aha, you got it. Ha ha, losers. And they're laughing. Obadiah writes and says, listen, you laugh now, but the same people that are destroying us, Babylon, they're going to destroy you. And they did. Jeremiah's giving this warning, the same warning of Obadiah. Listen, you can laugh now, but they're coming after you next. And they did. But he's given this warning. He says, go ahead and just laugh it up now. You think that you're strong enough to fight against them? You're not. Remember that the capital of Edom is a city of Petra. Some of you may have seen it in Indiana Jones. That's an actual city that was built into the rocks. And they said, it was going to destroy a mountain to get to us. We're safe. We could just lock the doors. The passes to get to that city are narrow that just a few archers can keep back an entire army. They're like, what are they going to do against us? Babylon was smarter than them and destroyed them. Wipe them out. The whole time they're laughing, aha, losers, watching Jerusalem be destroyed. And this rest of this passage from 20 to 22 is speaking about Edom's going to get theirs. They can go ahead and laugh. You want to, we're destroyed, but you want to laugh? It's also going to happen to you. Your strength will not last. Just like the Hebrews, every other thing that they're trusting other than God will not survive. Edom is not immune to that. They think they are immune because of their cities inside of the rocks, the passes that are impassable. They will not stop them either. There is no human or natural element we could depend upon that will not fail us over time. Only God is sufficient. So with that backdrop, let's turn to chapter 5. And let's see, as the weeping prophet is giving a tour of Jerusalem, and just when you didn't think things could get any worse, it did. Notice the people now. We see the reproached. Notice with me in verse number 1, chapter 5 and verse 1. Remember, O Lord, what is come unto us, and consider and behold our reproach. Our inheritance is turned to strangers, our houses to aliens. We are orphans and fatherless, our mothers are as widows. We have drunken our water for money, and our wood is sold unto us. Verse 4 is a very big deal. This isn't just poetic, but notice, we have drunken our water for money, our wood sold to us. The Hebrew people, because they're conquered by the Babylonians, are now poor and desperate and desolate. And in order for them to get water, they have to buy it from the enemies. Where did that water come from? It's their water. The Hebrew people have to buy their own water to drink it. They have to buy their own wood from their own forest to be able to use it from the enemy who's marking it up. They're at the place where it's really bad. Things that should have been theirs to enjoy and have, they now have to buy from the enemy that was theirs in the first place. Notice in verse 5, our necks are under persecution. We labor and have no rest. These people are working very, very hard just to survive, and they're still dying of starvation, of hopelessness. We have put the hand to the Egyptians and to the Assyrians to be satisfied with bread. In verse 6, it's talking about that they're trying to go to other countries for help. There's no one that could help them, not even these big name countries. Verse 7, our fathers have sinned and are not, and we bore their iniquities. Jeremiah is confessing nationally, you know what, it's our fault that we're here. They're not blaming the political parties. They're not blaming anyone else. They said, no, we did this. We refused to turn to God. We refused to trust in God. We refused to depend upon him. This is what we deserve because we refuse to trust God. Verse 8, servants have ruled over us, and there is none that delivereth us out of their hand. We get our bread with the peril of our lives because of the sword of the wilderness. It's so bad now that just to try to get bread, food for your family, you're risking your own life. Because the enemy has control of it. They control life over the death. There's so little of it available that people are fighting over it. Notice how bad it is. Verse 10. Our skin was black like an oven because of the terrible famine. They're at a starvation state that their skin is actually changing chemically. And they're black and they look like skeletons. It is awful. And it's eat or die. And if they try to go get food some way, it's to their own peril. It is an awful place. And we're seeing a people that's reproached, seeing a people that are living under the consequences of sin because of their own willful choice of not depending on God. They thought they could do it themselves. They thought they could give lip service to God and say, all right, God, I'll do this every once in a while, and you should be pleased with me. You should be happy that I just show up. But their devotion to God is not there. Their dependence on God is not there. They think, I can go ahead and live my life however I want. And now the consequences have come. Remember, God wants to be our sufficiency. He wants to be our provider. He wants to be our everything. Someone may say, well, God's being a bad God. No, he's a good God. He's knowing that he wants to give us more than we could ever imagine. In a couple of years, I have a whole theme for a year called the much more. And over, we'll see that phrase throughout the scripture, the much more. God doesn't want to just give us more. He wants to give us the much more. But that only happens when we put our dependence and trust and sufficiency in him, that he is enough, and stop trying to do things our own way and our own strength and our own dependence, and just asking God to help us rather than depend on him. Oftentimes we want to do our own plan and then ask that God gets on board to try to help us out. But it doesn't work out that way. Notice not only the reproached, but it gets worse. The ravished. Lamentations 5, and notice with me in verse 11. They ravished the women in Zion and the maids of the city of Judah. Nothing could be more horrible than a person treated in such a fashion. We were talking this morning in our early prayer thing how in the Syrian conflict a couple years ago, social media went out enticing young people to come join the cause in Syria to lend their voice to protest. And 500 students from America, including honor students, cheerleaders and whatnot, went over to Syria, and all of them were captured. Some girls were sold 9 times a day to different people to be abused. They got lied to, they got convinced, and they suffered horribly for it. I can't imagine such a worse existence than something like this. And yet when the Babylonians came, the Babylonians were not good people. And they came and they violated the people of the land. Horrible ways. And Jeremiah is watching some of the survivors of women who wish they were not survivors. And he's brokenhearted. He's seen what happened to the land because they wouldn't trust in God. And this is the consequences they went to. It's horrible. He's so brokenhearted over this, seeing this. He walks some more and he goes to the town square and he sees the princes hanged by their hand. Their faces, the elder, were not honored. He looks over and sees the young men are taken to the grind. Here, the young healthy men are turned into slaves. And they're being slaves for the Babylonians, grinding and working and doing manual labor under the whip and the lash of the Babylonians. And the children fell under wood. The small children who weren't strong enough to work those other things were given other tasks. And they died under the pressures of the labor that they had. Horrible, horrible. Jeremiah's walking through and just brokenhearted, just seeing all of this other things. Verse number 14, the elders have ceased from their gate, the young men from their music. Jeremiah's walking by and he said, this used to be a happy place, but it's not anymore. Verse 15, the joy of our heart is ceased. Our dance is turned to mourning. The crown has fallen from our head. Woe unto us that we have sinned. Notice that Jeremiah once again is pointing out, we did this. It's not someone else's fault. It's not the Babylonians' fault. It's us. We refuse to trust in God. We refuse to put our dependence on God. We refuse to look at God. And we got what we wanted. We got a life without God, and this is what it looks like. We wanted to do it ourselves, and this is what we got. We got what we wanted. The consequences of a life without looking at God, depending on him and doing it his way. Verse 17, for this our heart is faint, and for this our eyes are dim. Because of the mountain of Zion, which is desolate, the foxes walk upon it. Verse 20, wherefore dost thou forget us forever and forsake us for so long time? This whole land is destroyed. This whole land is ravished. This whole land is reproached. No wonder they're crying out and say, Lord, remember what has come upon us. Lord, we're destroyed. One more thing I want to show you here in this passage is the remaining. We saw the reproach. We saw the ravage. It just seems to get worse and worse. Then we come to the remaining. Lamentations 5:19 is the most hopeful verse in the midst of this lamentation. Notice with me in verse number 19. Thou, O Lord, remainest forever, thy throne from generation to generation. Remember that when it all said and done, God is our sufficiency. God will never change. We need to be depending on him. He's always been the answer. Even in the midst of these horrible, horrible conditions, the answer was still to look to God and to trust in him and depend upon him and let him be the sufficiency. Unfortunately, they had to get to the place where God was all they had before they learned that God was enough. We need to definitely learn that God is enough before he's all that we have, to trust in him, depend upon him, to do what he's asked us to do, because he has a plan and he is more than enough. Again, Lamentations is not a popular book to preach through because it is definitely a heartbreaking thing. It is not one to read with a happy voice. It's one, as a lamentation means, a mournful wailing. This is a sad, awful, horrible scripture. It's so avoided because it's not, quote unquote, encouraging. But it's realistic. We have to realize that if we don't depend on God, we're going to end up with a life of consequences of not depending on God. And the answer's been there the whole time. Jesus is enough. That he is enough. We need to come to the conclusion before it's too late that Jesus is enough, to put our dependence upon him, to look up him, to trust in him, and watch him work. Again, we live in a land of plenty. It's very hard for us to imagine us not having anything. Even our homeless in America lives better than most of the world. They eat better than most of the world. It's hard for us to understand because we complain, I only have one car that's working. If you have one vehicle, you are the top 10% of wealth in the entire world. We are spoiled. And because of that, we really don't know what it is to depend. Remember in the Lord's Prayer that we are to trust in God for our daily bread? When's the last time you had to say, God, if you don't supply for me today, I don't eat? Probably never, or very few times. We have so much food, we look and stare and say, I don't have anything to eat, with cabinets that are full and refrigerators that are full. We don't know what it's like. We have houses that we could claim as ours. Even if you're renting, you could claim it as yours. If you own, it's even better. We don't know what it's like to say, where am I going to sleep at night? To have no options. Some of us have health problems, but we have enough care that we're not worrying about, am I going to be able to survive tomorrow or not? For us, it is very hard for us to imagine God being all that we have. And because of that, unfortunately, we don't learn the sufficiency of Christ. We learn the sufficiency of us. We answer our own prayers most of the time. Lord, I think I need a new blah, blah, blah. And we may pray as a token thing and then go to Walmart and just go get it ourselves. We answer our own prayers most of the time. We find our own solutions most of the time. We think obeying God is an option for us. I don't feel like doing it. And we do whatever we want anyways because we're not dependent on him. That's a good idea. I'll go ahead and do it. I don't think that's a good idea. I'm not going to do it. We have no dependence on God. If we depended on God, we'd do what he said. And yet Jesus gives invitations like, come unto me, all ye that labor, and I will give thee rest. Take my yoke upon me and learn of me. It's when we put our dependence on him, true dependence on him, that we truly learn about him. And the biggest lesson is that he is enough. That he's our sufficiency. Why go through the book of Lamentations when it's so heartbreaking? Because we have the warning that we need to learn to trust God in our dependency and our sufficiency before it's too late. Even in the land of plenty, we can get to the place where we have so many consequences, we're heartbroken looking at the things falling apart in our life. And that's not what God wanted or intended. But we chose to live our life without God. We shouldn't be surprised when the consequences of that life continues to come to bear. When the whole time we could have trusted in God as our sufficiency, he is enough. Now, I could talk theoreticals. Let's bring it practical. How do we put our dependency on Christ? Well, first of all, just basic things, Bible reading. If you're not honestly reading the Bible, you are not depending on God. You are not, period, hands down. You're like, that's mean. No, that's Bible. If you will refuse to read your Bible healthily, you're not depending on God. If you are not praying often, remember, we could see your dependence on God by the amount that you pray. And how do you pray? Lord, help me to have things. You're not depending your dependence on God. Seeking him first is the idea of dependence on God. And if all you're doing is getting 5 minutes of prayer a day or less, you're not depending on God. If you won't obey him, you're not depending on God because you think you have a different way. God's laid out all these things for us for our benefit. I don't care what he says. I don't need to come to church. I don't care what he says. I don't need to do this. I don't care. I think I've got a better way. You're not dependent on God, and you're going to get the results of you're not depending on God. It's not God's fault. God's a good God. He's given us a way of escape the entire time to put our dependence on Him. Now, again, those are just the start. But that's enough, because that's where people live and still struggle. People still struggle with their Bible reading. And then they're frustrated with pastor when pastor's begging them, please read your Bible, please read your Bible, please read your Bible. I don't know why he makes a big noise out of this. Lamentations. How's your prayer life? Are you praying? Are you seeing answers to prayer? I'm doing all right. I don't understand why you're making a big deal out of this. Lamentations. Hey, are you coming to church? I don't know if I'm going to come to church or not. I don't know why you make a big deal. I don't have to go to church. I could be fine with God. No, you're not. I don't understand why you're making a big deal out of this. Lamentations. I don't have to obey God. I'm fine as I am. I could do this and it's still good. God still accepts me. He does. Then why are you making a big deal out of this? Lamentations. Before it's too late to put our dependence on God. And have the much more. When we go to heaven, if you've accepted Christ as your Savior, and you get shown all the things you missed out on that you could have had enjoyed on this life, we're all going to be heartbroken. Because He would have given us the much more. He would have given us the rest and the strength that we didn't even know have to see things accomplished that we couldn't even dream of. If we just put our dependence and trust on Him. He's not doing it because He's a bad God. He's doing it because He's a good God and He wants to give us the much more. It is us that are missing out on what He would have been freely glad to give us if we just put our dependence and trust on Him. Let's learn to make Him our sufficiency before it's too late. Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you could give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.